Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
It's An Englishman in the Balkans. It's a Saturday and we have really nice weather for a change here. We've had crazy weather. I was on my Instagram feed not so long ago, and there was this wonderful picture that popped up of a line of horses on a skyline that just absolutely took my breath away. And I thought, why is that popping up on my timeline? When I researched a little bit more, it was from a lady photographer who had been photographing the wild horses at Livno. And on the post, it said, just leaving Bosnia. So I thought, oh no, she's gone. But I dropped her a message and the answer was, I left a year ago. So I've caught up with Ruth Chamberlain. Now, Ruth lives in an equally beautiful part of the world. It's in the Lake District in the northwest of my home country of the United Kingdom. And she is the lady that took that photograph and many more. So I thought, I'd like to find out today a little bit about not only Ruth being a equine photographer, but also about why she came to Bosnia and Herzegovina in the first place, what she thought about the country, and to talk maybe just a little bit about some equine issues. So first, Ruth, who is Ruth Chamberlain?
Ruth Chamberlain is me. I have always grown up around horses, and I have a passion for promoting unusual and rare breeds in particular, and their history and their relationship with people. And I go all over the UK with our semi-feral herds that we have around here. And occasionally I go abroad.
What made you want to end up in Bosnia and Herzegovina? After all, it still is not the prime area for people to either holiday in or maybe for people to be interested in.
I'd actually seen a couple of pictures on Instagram of the Livno horses. And I'd always had an idea to go there one day. And it was actually about a week before I went, my friend who has a horse riding company, she was interested in seeing them as well. And she just messaged me, do you fancy coming to Bosnia with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. When? Next week. I was like, I can make that work. I did a bit of research more on the horses. I think it's one of those situations where if I hadn't have just said yes and gone the next week, I think I would have too much time for people to say, oh, Bosnia, I probably wouldn't have gone, but I'm glad I did go. And I was like, I'm sure it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I ended up having the most wonderful time. The people were just lovely. And I just didn't want to go home, really.
We'll talk about the horses, the Bosnian horses, specifically the Livno horses, in a minute. You said you would never have thought of coming. And when you did arrive, it turned out to be a much better experience, I imagine, than what you first thought about. Having been away from the country for a year and you have time to think back about the experiences, what are your experiences? What do you think about the country in general?
I thought that you could see that obviously there had been war there. There's a lot of the scars left and it was interesting to see that. And the friend I was with had done a lot of traveling and she said it was very Balkan to her. But what really struck me was how much care people had taken. Like Livno itself was so tidy. There may not have been enough money to put lots to it, replace all the roads with new tarmac, even on the drive over through the mountains. But it's still, everything was so well kept and well looked after. And you could just see that the people there they just loved their country. They loved where they were and they loved sharing it with people. And I think it does have a lot of stigma against it, Bosnia, which a lot of people, when I came back, a lot of people were like, oh, what was it like? What was it like? And I said, actually, it was just really lovely. And I just enjoyed every part of it. It's nice to learn about beer cocktails, quite like those. Yeah, we just really enjoyed ourselves. The scenery was gorgeous, met some really cool people, and yeah, just wonderful.
In terms of equine matters, how does the situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina compare to your experiences back home in the UK? I'm sure there are some unique challenges for you with the feral breeds in the part of the United Kingdom where you live. Are there similar challenges for people in Bosnia and Herzegovina as far as the horses of Livno in particular are concerned?
Yeah, so the main difference between Livno and the UK, for example, is all of the horses in the UK are owned. So the ones that we have roaming about in Dartmoor, Exmoor, they're owned by somebody who have common grazing rights to keep their horses out there. So they control how many horses they have. All the breeding is controlled, but they do roam free. So a lot of people perceive them as wild. But even in Bosnia, you get commons grazing. But the difference is the horses there were basically just turned loose. They're completely natural herds with stallions, mares, foals. I think there's one gelding there who got released when he had an injury and his owner just put them out on the mountain. But they do, because there's natural predators there, and there's wolves and bears, they do naturally fit into the ecosystem. And horses are a native species of Europe. And there's an interesting part of horse domestication where horses, the domestic horse essentially completely replaced the wild horse, but physically they have very similar impacts on the land. So a domestic horse can very naturally just become part of nature. And in Bosnia, it was great to see that. And the guides we took who came out with us on the first day said that some horses did get taken by bears and wolves, which is natural. And yes, it's sad, but it's all part of nature. And if that didn't happen, you'd end up with overpopulation and far too many horses. But all the locals that we met in Livno, they loved the horses and they thought they were great. Obviously, they do bring tourism to the area. Yeah, so in that aspect, they were just great and a bit different to the UK. But for the first time, it was for me seeing the completely natural herd structure. There was all stallions, mares and foals all mixed together and lots of them coming together. There was fights with the stallions, all as it should be in nature.
That's quite a unique experience then, if you don't see that back in the UK. What's the health, the standard of health of animals? That's always a question that I think about. Just getting away from horses for a minute, we have a dog problem here in the north of Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's really heartbreaking at times to see the state of the health of dogs that have been abandoned. I know that the herds of Livno, they're more into nature, but how does their health, the standard of their health compared to those feral herds that you have back in the UK?
I thought they were in fantastic condition. They were so fit and healthy. again, because they have the stallions there, it drives them and it makes them move and they exercise, they run around. But again, because it's nature, you don't see a lot of elderly horses there. And again, the locals said that a lot of elderly horses will just take themselves away. And that's when they get taken by wolves and bears and everything. There was a few horses that did have injuries, which is just, again, part of nature. It wasn't caused by people. It was just injuries from living out and fighting with each other. A few of them did have ropes around their necks, which is where some people had gone out and tried to catch a few and it not worked, which is a bit of a shame to see that, because the poor horse would go around with a rope stuck around its neck forever now. But generally, I didn't see, I mean, this one horse that had been set out on, he was a gelding that had been turned loose, and so he was very friendly, but his owner knew that he could have a much better life out on the mountain because the injury he had meant he couldn't be ridden anymore, but there's no reason why he couldn't just go and graze. So she does go and see him, but he just lives out there and has a lovely time and is in fantastic health. Whereas in Britain, then most of the free roaming ponies are in great condition, but we have a lot of problems with tourists feeding them, and that causes a lot of health problems. So you get a lot of quite poorly ones that get very fat, or they'll get laminitis. And you do get some areas where there's a lot of, because people feed them in one area, they gather and they tend to get worms because then they're all in one area and not able to, because if horses can roam, they'll generally be all okay. But because they stick to car parks and everything, they get problems with worm burden. Whereas in Bosnia, they definitely didn't have that. I know the guide said there's a couple of people go out and try to give them mineral licks and everything, which the horses don't need because there's plenty of minerals out there. But that does cause problems with the horse, the wild horses coming to vehicles and stuff. But other than that, the condition of those horses was incredible. I didn't see one, trying to think back, I think there was one slightly thin mare, but she did have a foal. And I went in April, so the ground was not quite, hadn't quite got luscious yet. And a horse's neck life cycle, through the winter, they should drop their summer weight. They should drop a lot of weight, and then they should pile it all back on in the summer. And what I saw, that they were just very healthy horses. And I wasn't concerned for their well-being at all. I was like, this is brilliant life for them.
Two things there that sprung to mind. One is first about the tourism, and the other one is that phrase that I've never heard before when you said mineral licks. And when I've driven through Livno, especially as the winter is going away, I've noticed the horses are licking the ground. And my wife often says, I think they're licking the salt that they've put on the road. But I wasn't so sure if that was true. Horses licking the ground is a natural thing, because I thought this has got to be dangerous for them.
Yes. It happens over here too. People grit the roads, and it's the salts and the grits they love. And a lot of horse owners will put a mineral lick out in the fields with their horses. And some are doing it in places like Dartmoor Expo, the New Forest, to keep their ponies away from the road. So they'll go out into the forest and they'll put a lick out to keep the ponies safe so they don't go to the road for the grit. And I think in Livno, it was saying it's the same sort of thing, but people would go out into the mountain but only feed the grit or the salt in one place. So all the horses would converge and they'd muddy the water that was there. And it needed to be done a bit more carefully. But again, I know there was lots of signs on the road saying horses crossing, but we never saw any horses off the mountain. But they may come down off the mountain in the winter to get grits and salts and things. But yeah, they do lick salt.
The country is now being driven, and I think in a positive way, into improving its touristic offerings. And you most probably saw it when you were there. There are these quaint towns and cities. There's a huge amount of history that people in Northern Europe in particular have no idea about. There's a lot of problems now with people taking quad bikes into open areas and destroying land. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're not. And I've also noticed online and from stories that I get told from people that I know within the country now that there are a lot of people going to the Livno area to see these horses. In your view, is mass tourism like that really bad? Should it be controlled? And if it should be controlled, how would it be best to show people that come to a country that there are these wonderful wild herds without disturbing the ecosystem and the stress on those herds?
I come from a very touristic part of England, and we do get a lot of tourists in the high season, and it does cause problems. But as long as you have the right facilities for it, it's good. And obviously it does bring money into the area. And in Livno itself, the town itself was gorgeous. We stayed in local accommodation, and the road up to the mountain is a gravel road. And we just drove our car up onto the mountain, but just parked it on the road. So we didn't go driving around. But there were other vehicles that were driving off road. And I know the guide we were with on the first day, she took us on a known route, but she said to we met these people. She said, be careful coming up here. You don't know the routes. You don't know the mountains. Just stick to the pathway. So I think it's important to maybe have a bit more, not signage is the wrong word, but I think a bit more information readily available. Because we did, what I would consider the right thing in someone like Bosnia is to get a tour guide who knows the mountains. Because she did say there's potentially some unexploded landmines up there. And she just wanted to show us where they were. And I think if there was, because when you drive up the mountain, there's absolutely no clue that you're about to meet a herd of wild horses up there. And I think that sort of thing is very helpful, and it helps keep people in one area where they might see them. But again, I wouldn't thought there was hordes of people going to see them. But I think there's a nice amount, and it's obviously there's a couple of guiding businesses there who are purely set up for the horses. So it's an income for families already. So I think it's great in that sense. And also, I think there was some other places where there might have been some wild horses, and whether or not it'd be worth trying to spread the concentration of people amongst all these other little locations. So it's all not just going to Livno. Yeah, but I think it's a good thing. But I do think if the numbers kept on increasing of people visiting, I think some of the money the tourism's bringing in should maybe go towards improving the facilities for tourists to use. A bit maybe a parking area up on the mountain so people don't just park on the gravel track. And it could just be an extent of a widening of the track where people could just pull over. And maybe a little sign up there to explain what's here, the history of the horses, and where people can find more information. And just warning people to try and stay on the road and not drive around the mountains or in their cars.
Since you returned to the UK, having been introduced to these horses here in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and you being in that sort of ecosystem that you are, you're talking to other people that are passionate about equine issues. What sort of reactions have you had from people that said, you went to Bosnia, they've got horses in Bosnia? Because it's not really well known, or is it really well known within the equine world? I know that people talk about wild hordes in Mongolia, but Mongolia and Bosnia are two completely different issues, aren't they?
If you think of wild horses that you go and photograph, you immediately think of Mustangs and Brumbies in Australia and the USA. But people were very interested, of course, where have they come from? And actually, the horses in Livno are descended from mostly Bosnian mountain horses, which are an incredible breed. They are, I think they're one of the most ancient breeds in the world. And they've actually got, there were some studies done on the anatomy, which shows how they are, like they're very close to the original wild horses of Europe. But it surprises people. But a lot of people have said how they can see similarities of the Bosnian horses to the sort of mountain and moorland breeds of Britain. And you can see how they all have shared ancestry eons back. But I know people found it interesting. And yeah, I think when I say though, I've been away, like, oh, what did we go there for? And I go, horses. They're like, ah, of course.
What is your favorite memory from your trip? Whether that is a particular shot that you took or something that you experienced that has stuck with you, whether that's food, a sight, or whatever.
Oh, it was all lovely. There was even like the first time we arrived. And unfortunately, we literally just got off the aeroplane and hadn't my camera together or anything yet. But the horses literally arrived and started boxing each other next to the car. That was pretty special to see immediately. And just, I think we spent most of an afternoon with them. But when I took that picture of them going over the hill, watching the whole herd just move en masse was pretty incredible. As I said, we enjoyed the beer cocktails in Livno. That was the translation of them. But they were quite nice. And we also went up to Kupres to go and go for a horse ride. There's a little place up there where a lot of tourists are going to stay and have a riding holiday there. And we had the most fantastic ride through this valley, just stunning scenery and a really good quality ride as well. I think that it was the first year they were open since COVID. And so they'd been really struggling, but they were just wonderful people and they had great food as well and just a fantastic ride. And I couldn't really walk when I got back because it was such a long ride. And then I had to drive to the airport after that. But I got there.
You're passionate about promoting and saving rare equine breeds. And there's most probably a lot of work to do back in the UK. What do you think what does the future look like for this herd of wild horses that are living as they would have done without any real human interaction. Is there a real healthy future for them, or do you think that unless something is done by local authorities or the people themselves, that herd could be in danger like other herds have been before them?
The only problem I could foresee with those horses is potentially inbreeding because they are all on that mountain. But we have in the UK, in the Carnarvon Mountains, we've had little ponies that have been isolated. There's only about 300 of them, and they've been living for centuries. And they maybe have a bit of inbreeding as well, but I think in natural populations, that's not too uncommon. And I think there was a point when, especially during the war, the Bosnian horses were, a lot of them died, and there were suddenly, I think they actually got protection in the 90s from people just going up and shooting them if they wanted to. So they have got some sort of protection now. And I think the people of Livno value them so much. Even when you go on the Visit Livno Instagram, their logo is of a horse. I think the locals are very fond of them and keeping them there. And I think if there ever was an issue, I think they would step in and say if there was a disease outbreak or something, they would step in and try and save them because the horses now have given Livno such a place on the map, if you like. It's a destination to go. So yeah, I think they have a good future. And another great thing about them is because they are integrated so naturally into the wild, it shows the rest of the world how good horses are for the environment, because horses generally get such a stigma against them for being bad for the environment, but actually they're really good. But when you see a horse in a paddock and you just see it in the grass, of course it's not going to be grazing much there, but when you see them out in the wild and all the wildflowers that can flower around them, all the different types of species of plant, all the things, they're all part of the life cycle. They're a native species. And I think seeing the Livno example is just everything. It's everything you could possibly want when you're trying to show how good horses are for the environment and for the future of a green Britain, a green world, really.
Is there anywhere online or in physical books or whatever where you have a gallery of some of those wonderful shots that you've taken of the horses of Bosnia and Herzegovina?
At the moment, I haven't really updated my website for quite a while. I tend to just put everything on my Instagram and Facebook in a very random order. I don't have, but I usually try and tag like Livno wild horses or wild horses. So you can, if you search through my feed, you'll see. I've got one photograph pinned on my Instagram of a Bosnian stallion. But yeah, I don't have them all in one gallery, unfortunately. But it's something when I have time, I'm trying to work through getting them all put into galleries so people can just easily find one breed or one place.
You most probably have a lot on your plate. What is a project, if you're allowed to talk about it, what is a project that you are really involved with at the moment?
With horses, I'm doing a mixture of things of promoting these rare breeds. I recently went to the Faroe Islands. They have a very rare breed there, and their tourist board was really keen to try and help me promote the Faroe Islands as a destination and trying to save their horses as well. But I am just trying to raise awareness of horses. I'm hoping to do a book about the British native breeds. And I'm also trying to, again, show how horses are very helpful with regenerative grazing. That's a really big thing in the UK at the moment. And I'm trying to make sure that horses don't get left behind, because a lot of the time farmers will use cattle and sheep, but horses often get left behind because they're not commercial in the same way that cattle and sheep are. So my big thing at the moment is just keeping horses in the loop, keeping them at the front of conversation, really.
Are you planning at any time to come back so that we can show you maybe more of the country that you saw on your photography visit and, I don't know, maybe expand your taste buds with the quite unique cuisine that they have here?
I would absolutely love to come back. I was thinking about when I could, and at the moment I don't have... I'm trying to think, even like in the next year, I don't think I have enough time to spare to come across, but it is somewhere I definitely want to come back, because I had such a brief introduction to it, but what I saw and experienced, I just loved so much, and I'd be very keen to come back again. So yes, please.
Well, I'll be in touch about that. Ruth, once again, thank you very much indeed. You'll see links in the show notes to wherever you watch or hear this, to Ruth's Instagram, her website, even though she's going to update it, and any other information so that you can follow it. Ruth, thank you so much. And I wish you as calm a weekend ahead as you can have.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.